Revelation 21 and 22, and I'm excited as I can be, and I've got more stuff that I can deal with, and I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm so full of wonder and admiration. I am really, really stuck about how to progress through here, but we'll do the best that we can, and we'll go from there. If you're willing and able, stand with us as we read God's Word out of honor to Him, and let's say this together. Chapter 21, look at verse 9. There came to me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Where John is, he's taking him somewhere. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to great and high mountain, literally the highest mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I read that casually, but that is an unbelievable set of words there. He had to get to the highest point he could to see this massive city pre-constructed descending from the atmosphere to this new earth, this new planet. Having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We'll see that that's not jasper like modern jasper. It's literally just a transliteration. It's like pizza. It's not pie. It's not translated that way. It's just a clear as crystal. The best we can do is a diamond. Had a wall, great and high, had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In the east 3 gates, north 3 gates, south 3 gates, the west 3 gates. You've got by now it's a square. In just a second you'll figure out it's a cube. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the name of the 12 apostles, Lamb, Old Testament believers, New Testament believers. That's pretty simple. He talked with me, had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. City lines four square, and the length as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, give or take 1,380 miles, 1,420 miles. Because of rounding, I'm just going to say 1,500 because I don't want to keep saying 1,380. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. Somebody say these are spiritual measurements. Apparently not. Apparently a cubit's a cubit from here, from the elbow to the tip of your finger there. And the measure of the wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear gas. The fountains of the foundation of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Skip down, if you would, to verse 12. And the gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of pearl. If you didn't make that connection, the pearls are 1,500 miles high. As someone rightly said, what an oyster. And the street of that city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings are there to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all the day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations, or the ethnicities, the peoples into it. And there shall in no wise enter anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination makes a lie, but those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. That is one of the last instances, I think is probably the last incident, where you have anything really negative said in the Scripture. And I want to talk to you about the city of God this morning. Would you pray? Father, I pray, Lord, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, I have so much content, I have so much I've studied. So much I'm excited about. I pray that I communicate clearly. But I pray more than that, that you would communicate to us. That you, the Holy Spirit of God, would speak to every heart. I pray that you'd help us right now. I pray that this would be more than fantasy, it'd be reality. I pray that it'd be more than something we appreciate. I pray it'd be the longing of our heart. I pray, Lord, that the things of earth would go strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Oh, how I pray you do that. I pray for those who've been recently baptized, you'd help them to walk with you. I pray for those who need to follow you as Lord and Savior. They do that today. And I pray that you would get great glory as we honor you this morning. I pray all this in your Son's wonderful and precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Mr. Glaspin. Thank you. Talking about the city of God, the city of God, and all of you that are praying for my throat, thank you very much. Talking about the city of God here. If you've ever wondered, why do we sing about, I'm marching to Zion, Beautiful, beautiful Zion. If you ever thought about that, if you've ever thought about the city of God, if you ever thought about those streets of gold, if you've ever listened to a gospel music station for more than 30 minutes, you've heard a song about the streets of heaven, all those things, you are looking at some of the only or the most explicit verses in the scripture about that. In everything that it unpacks, there's not a wasted verse at all in the Bible particularly, but there's not a wasted verse here. And so much is unpacked, so much little bit mentioned in Ezekiel, a little bit mentioned in Daniel, a little bit of glimpse here in Isaiah, and then all of a sudden we get to this. And it's just bigger and better and more amazing than perhaps anything we could get our minds around. And I had all kind of titles. I just simply ended up on the city of God. If you go back in your notes there, and those of you who are using the app, HardinValleyChurch.com/APP, those who got the app, you can look back and kind of see. We said those first four verses there, the first eight verses. First eight verses kind of the preview. And then he explains it, and he unpacks it in the remainder. And that goes from verse 9 through really chapter 22 and verse 5. And we're not going to do all those. We're going to see as far as we can get. Because I don't want to rush through it, and I don't want to stay here either. And some of you going, man, we spent a lot of time on the danger and the demons and the earthquakes and all that kind of stuff. But some of this, the best we can do is just kind of explain it. We can just kind of see it because we have no comparison. We don't know anything about translucent gold that you can drive over. We've never seen a pearl much bigger than 10 millimeter, 11 millimeter, much less miles. And they can swing freely. And we don't know anything about a cube city. We don't know anything about a city and a structure that is 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles deep. We don't know anything about that. We don't know anything about angels strong enough to work the gates. We don't. What in the world are we talking about here? You say, well, it's all hyperbole. You might think that, except he goes, the measurement of a man is the measurement of an angel. These are literal measurements. This is what he's talking about. If anything, it's better than this. And by the way, we're only talking about the heavenly city. We're not really talking about the new heaven and the new earth. We will get to explore all of those things. You say, preacher, man, my mind's getting kind of blown here. My mind's starting to wander and worship. Well, that's the point. And the best thing about all of it still is not the streets of gold and not the foundation of these precious stones, not any of that. The best thing about it is that we will be with Jesus if we know him. The best thing about heaven. So if you'll just allow me, maybe to do that. John chapter 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, behold, I will come again, bring you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John heard Jesus say that. And now John gets to see the place that Jesus makes. By the way, Jesus has never, ever uttered a promise to you that he's not kept. And he is going to keep this promise. Say, I've got loved ones who knew Christ. Not that the preacher said nice thing about him at a funeral. Anybody ever been to one of those rascals in the casket and some dude gets up there and says nice things about him like that they knew Jesus and you were in the crowd going, I don't know who that is up there. I don't know who that is. And they're trying to kick them into heaven after time's expired, so to speak. They're not talking about that. People who knew, and you say, man, they close their eyes in death. Where are they? They are with God now. They are already in this marvelous, amazing place that we get to see later on. They are there with him, and it is better. It is better than what's in our imagination. It's better. And so, man, I just want to give you comfort. I want to help you out. We've said it a couple of times, 500 times in the Bible, about 50 times, a little more than that, in the book of Revelation that's there. And we start off. I gave you in your notes there a summary of last time. I think it's important that you have it. I think it's important that you remember. I think it's important that you understand there are residents of heaven and there are residents of hell. That you understand that not everybody gets there, and God, we're not all God's children and all this other goofy mess that we like to say from time to time. There's an absolute delineation line. Some of you on your card, you wrote out people and tears almost come to your eyes because you know if they die like they are, they will go to the awful place we described in detail two Sundays in a row, and you don't want that to happen to them. And even though they don't care for their soul, you care for their soul. And then the beautiful city of God. If you'll let me use if you'll let me borrow from the photography world, the video world, there is this framing look at things. Go to verse number 9. I'll be quick. And again, I really don't want to take two or three Sundays with this. Maybe I'm going to have to, but verse 9. There came to me one of those angels, seven angels, had seven vials full of the last seven plagues. Angels do multiple things. Talk to me, saying, come hither, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He describes it this way, the one who's been adorned. This is the character of the city. This is also about the inhabitants. This has been prepared. This has been carefully chosen. This is beautiful. And he carried me away in the spirit to great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem's descending from out of heaven. Excuse me, I'll say it again. Descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a stone, most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Jasper for us is an opaque stone. This is not the idea. And again, it's not even jasper there. It's just how it's spelled. They didn't know what it was, and so they just translated it kind of as jasper. We wouldn't call it that. Anything we have remarkable like this, that's close to this, is a diamond, is a diamond. And you say, what do you mean there? It's what I just said, pizza. Pizza means pie, and pizza means pie, but we don't say pie. We say pizza. Burrito. Burrito means upset tummy, but we don't translate it that way. And so it's just one of those transliterated kind of words that's there. And he starts off describing things for us, starts off describing things. He talks about the divine origin. God has built this. This is the city coming down from heaven to this new earth. This is the capital city of God. Capital city of God. It has the glory of God in it. It has the throne of God in it. And it's like a diamond in its appearance. If I were to pull up a diamond right now and pull it out, when Andrea and I were getting serious and I needed to get married, I did what everybody else does. I went to the mall and checked around and figured out what kind of ring Andrea wanted, and so did she want a pear shaped ring. She want a she wanted an oval ring, whatever it was. And man, they really wanted a lot of money for it back yonder. In the 90s, I couldn't imagine buying a ring now. But anyway, and they wanted a lot of money for it. And I was living in the dorm, finished up my grad work. And a guy said, a guy across the hall said, I know a guy. And I thought, okay. He said, he sells diamonds. And the only people I knew sold diamonds were the people in the movies who were gangsters. And I said, I don't know, I'm interested. He said, he can save you some money. I said, how does it work? He said, well, he lives in California. He said, he'll FedEx you a diamond. I'm like, are you wearing a wire? Is this entrapment? Have you been living in the dorm waiting for somebody to need a diamond so you could get them arrested? I didn't know what was going on, didn't understand it. He kept talking to me. I called and got the guy on the phone. He said, yeah, and he walked me through the four C's and all this. He said, well, how much do you love her? I said, I love her quite a bit. I said, but that's not the issue here, because I got this much money. He said, well, you can get this size of ring. I said, well, that's how much I love her. And so he said, let me send you two or three rings and do that. And I really thought he was kind of putting me on. I'm like, well, I'm not going to send you any money. He said, well, my friend vouches for you. It was his cousin or something. I said, okay, as long as I don't have any money out there. And he sent me these things and came in FedEx, sure enough, and I opened them. And they're like wrapped, they're like in a Ziploc bag. And I pulled them out, and I'm like, for all I know, these are glass. So I'm like, I think I'm gonna have to take them to a jeweler and get them to examine them. And this thing's getting more and more complicated, and I accidentally showed them to somebody. And so word got out that I had a diamond ring. And I was trying to surprise Andre. It's a long story. It's not terribly interesting, although most of you are more interested in this than you are in heaven right now. And we're there and all this. And then I had to send a guy a check. And I mean, it was just a whole thing. As far as I know, it was a real diamond. And if it wasn't a real diamond, please no one tell my wife. And this is how we did it. We bought her some other things from stores since time. I never met the guy. He's supposed to be a believer. And I've often wondered if he's still FedExing things to people. I wondered if his cousin's walking around going, hey, you think about getting married? I know a guy. As much work as it was to do that, as much as the South African diamond industry is there, this is a city. It looks like a giant diamond. 1,500 miles any direction. So constructed it can be brought down to earth. And it is completely dazzling. God's Shekinah glory illuminates it. And from any angle, in any place, it reflects the glory of God. There's no temple there, but there's a throne there. There's no need for it. We completely inhabit it and are inhabited by the presence of God. He's there. If you've got heaven as a bunch of fluffy clouds and a bunch of Scandinavian children, you know, with wings flirting around, you do not have the right perspective biblically of heaven. So where are my loved ones now? They are here. And we look at this. There's the stone here. It's a very costly stone. Very costly stone. We looked at the outskirts. We looked at the framing shot. We looked at the outside of the city of God. You still with me? Say amen. He says it's a great and high wall. It's a great and high wall. It's not amorphous. It's not nebulous. It's not floating. It's got real dimension. It's a real place. It's a real place. It can be entered to and left through. It's got gates and angels, and the angels are doing whatever. They're saying hello. They're saying goodbye. Whatever it is. Remember, we looked at some angels who stood 1 foot in the land, 1 foot in the water. These are huge beings here. If you've got tiny angels and people angels, and you got little figurines that you put on the Christmas, you do not have a biblical view of what's going on. Massive construction, 12 gates. The symmetry that's all that's here, that's going on. The walls of the city. The walls of the city gives the thickness there. About 172 feet. These are huge places. These are huge places. Its length and its width are as equal. Somebody said it's a pyramid. Can't be a pyramid. The best thing really and truly is it to be a cube. I'm sorry, 72 yards is the thickness there. All these things, it's got the foundation stones. One of those foundation stones there, jasper or diamond. The second one's a sapphire, brilliant blue stone. Chalcedony there, an agate there from modern Turkey. Sky blue, it's got little stripes in it. An emerald there, it's a bright green stone. A sardonyx, a red and white striped stone. The next one is a sardius, a quartz that's found in some shades of red. A crystallite, transparent, it's got a little bit of a yellow hue to it. The eighth is a beryl, it's a beryl stone. In shades of green, yellow, and blue. It's got different colors depending on the vein that you find it in. Topaz is yellow-green. Chrysophis is a gold-tinted green stone. Jacinth is a blue or white colored, or excuse me, violet-colored stone. Modern day, if you buy one of those, they're red. The 12th is an amethyst or a purple stone. Everything about it, this is an amazingly beautiful city on the outside. Completely sparkling. Heaven's dull and drab. We sit around. Not biblical heaven, not the city of God, not the place that the redeemed of the Lord go to. It is astonishing. It is astonishing. It's got the 12 pearls. John Phillips wrote something I think is interesting about the significance, maybe the pearls. It says, all of them are precious stones, but a pearl is a gem formed within the oyster, the only thing formed by living flesh. The oyster receives an irritation, a wound, if you will. And around the offending wound that has penetrated and hurt it, the oyster builds a pearl. The pearl, we might say, is the answer of the oyster to that which injured it. The glory land is God's answer in Christ to wicked men who crucified heaven's beloved and put him to an open shame. How like God it is to make the gates of the New Jerusalem of pearl. The saints, as they go in and out, will be forever reminded as they pass through the gates of glory that access to God's home is only because of Calvary. Think of the size of those gates. Think of the supernatural pearls from which they are made. What gigantic suffering is symbolized by those gates of pearl. Throughout endless ages, we shall be reminded by those pearly gates of the immensity and suffering of Jesus. Those pearls hung eternally at the access route to glory will forever remind us of the one who hung on a tree and whose answer to those who injured him would be invite them to share his home. And I say amen to the gates of pearl. We got the framing shot. We got the outside look. Peek with me there at the inside. Again, we're going to do this in a couple parts. Look at the inside, if it would. Go down to verse 21, if you will. And verse 21. You still with me? Do with me. I saw the 12 gates, the 12 pearls. I saw no temple therein. Verse 23. Our city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it. Verse 25. The gates of it shall not shut at all by day. There'll be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the Lord of the nations into it. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we get another characteristic of things that are here as we see this river of light. It's a cube city. As we're looking at the dimensions of it inside and outside, and we're reminded of a few things there. It's 1,500 miles, give or take, cubed. If every believer, if you assume there's 20 billion that have been saved, again, that's a fairly common statistic in this area, just use maybe 75 to 100 billion people that have ever lived. If you just assume a low percentage of folks have come to Christ, you can up that if you need to. You'd still have every believer would have 75 acres to walk around and be just your own. Remember, you're not married. There's no family there, so to speak of. So we're about a third of a mile. You'll have plenty of room. Plus, you get to explore the earth and you get to explore the universe. Nobody's going to be cramped that's there. So how big is this city of God? If you went from Canada, the bottom of Canada, to the Gulf of America, and I put Gulf of Mexico, and I realize it's Gulf of America now, didn't we? And if you'd go from Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean, this is a massive place. And remember, it's tiered. You can go vertically as easy as you can horizontally. You say, preacher, you're just absolutely blowing my mind. Good. That's the point. Heaven is better than you've ever imagined. And again, I'm not being ugly. It's better than is described. John's doing the best he can. It's dazzling like a diamond. No need of the sun. No need of the moon. No need of the stars. It's incredible. Absolutely, positively incredible. 72-yard thick walls there. I mentioned that. The jasper is a diamond-like stone. The streets of the city, pure. So pure that they're like gold. You say, man, there's not going to be a lot of privacy there. There's not going to be any need of privacy. Nobody's going to steal anything. Nobody's ever going to be embarrassed. Nobody's going to be ashamed. You're never going to go to sleep. You know, don't need any rest. The stones there, I rolled through those different stones there. What we would put in a ring and what we would say is precious is used for construction material. Everything has changed. Physics are changed. Everything has changed. How many of you are like, man, it's a pretty amazing place. And the best thing about it still is what? There's no need of the temple. We are in the complete presence of God all the time. Because we've gotten a new body, we can be with Him. We can see Him in His holiness, in His perfection. We get to do what we could not do before. We get to understand and we get to go from there. The 12 gates of pearls, again, a 1,500-mile pearl. I laugh. I was writing my notes out. I'm going, this looks like gibberish. It's like gibberish. What am I writing here? What am I writing? What am I doing here? What am I typing out here? And this is just a city. He says He makes a new earth. All these beautiful things. This capital city of God. There's the inside of it. Streets of pure glass like gold. The songwriters, they like to harp on this. It's not a problem. Best thing about heaven is not any of the accoutrement. The best thing about heaven is Jesus. And I'm with Him. There's no need of the temple. I'm not going to go to worship. I'll just be worshiping. Anybody like me, you ever feel guilty? You kind of act like you don't know Jesus. Then on Sunday, you kind of act like you know Jesus. And you're like, man, I need to live more like I know Jesus Monday through Saturday. Anybody ever feel like you pick it up and put it down sometimes? You're more spiritual on Sunday and less spiritual on Tuesday when you're cranky? Anybody? Like four of you. The rest of you are liars and you need to come to the altar. You'll never feel that way again. You'll never be less spiritual. You'll never turn it off. You'll never be secular sometimes and spiritual sometimes. It'll just be completely right with God. There's no need of the sun or the moon. Everything has changed. There's no need for external illumination. If you've got a diamond-like city, if you've got pure gold streets, if everything around you is reflective and refracting, that's one of the things. One of the first things I would always teach students, would get them, my Greek students, I'd get them in there and they'd be translating. I'd get them in Revelation, let them do a little translating, and they'd skip over the word white. They think white's a color. I'd have them go back. White's not the color. It's not the color in Revelation. White is the color. It's the idea of reflected glory. It is white as it is dazzling. when the Bible says we'll be robed in white, we'll be robed in reflective, as it were, and the glory of God will be reflecting over us, and he and the city like a great diamond, and we like little diamond, just completely reflecting. Heaven is one place. One thing I know about it, it is bright. It is full of light. It is the very antithesis of darkness. There is no darkness there. There's no sin there. There's no need of illumination, for the glory of God does this. And man, it is absolutely positively amazing. How many of you are getting just excited listening to me talk about it? There's no need of the sun. No need of the moon. No need of the moon. It's always day. There's no night. You don't sleep. You're perfectly rested, by the way. You're perfectly holy. Look if you would. Pure river of the water of life. See, what is this? Whatever it is not like water we know. It's a water that gives life. It's pure as crystal. Proceeds out of there's no rain there. There's no hydrological cycle. There's no sea, nothing for it to evaporate and return back to. Everything about this is different. In the midst of the tree of life, and on either side was of the river was a tree of life, had the 12 manners of fruits and yielded it fruit every month. He said, month, I thought we were in eternity. It's the idea of a passing of season or a cycle. There is some variety in heaven. You won't be bored in heaven. Things will change. Things will do. I think we can learn. I think we can grow. I think we'll travel. Obviously, we go in and out of the gate. We'll be able to do things. There is some there's constancy, and then there's variety. Everything is there. And you have all these things. And you see this. You got a 1,500-mile city. You got the throne of God. Instead, it proceeds out. So you've got the levels. And then this stuff is growing on either side. You see the tree of life. We haven't seen the tree of life since the Garden of Eden. The tree that gives life. The water gives life. Everything about heaven is giving life. Everything about heaven is giving rest. Everything about heaven is giving light. Everything about heaven reflects the glory of God. Everything about heaven is amazing and perfect. And the best, one of the best things is there's no sin. It'll be perfect. You and I'll be perfect. He even says that. The verse that we read, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We will perfectly do that. All the things we do will honor Christ. There'll be no repentance. There'll be no shame. There'll be no sin. It'll be just absolutely amazing. And John's just writing as fast as he can. I let my imagination go. I've been headed here for months. I thought about family. I thought about some of our folks. They close their eyes and they open their eyes in the city of God. I thought about our, we had a child that we lost, and Andre and I rarely talk about it. We know approximately when the child was going to be born, and we pause usually in that month and talk about it for a minute. Talk about the child for a minute. Talk about the occasion rather for a minute. We won't be mom and dad. We won't be married there. I'm looking forward to meeting our baby. I'm looking forward to some grandparents I never got to meet who knew the Lord. I'm looking forward to some people that I cried about. I'm looking forward to, I started a while back, anybody that passes away that I pastored, I try and put them in my calendar so I can remember. I'm looking forward to seeing Gladys West again, who looked at me, both similar diagnoses, grabbed my hands and said, I've asked God to take me home and leave you here. That's exactly what God did. He took her home and left me here. And I miss my friend Gladys. I'm excited because one day I'll see Jesus. And as overwhelmed as you are hearing and reading this, we understand all this is possible because of the cross. Don't be real impressed with the city of God, heaven, and not be real impressed with Jesus dying on the cross. If you got real impressed with this and real impressed with the cross, you'd really live differently. You'd live so much differently. I'm done. Let me just give you a couple thoughts. I'm done. I'm gonna finish. We're gonna pick back up here. I'm gonna hit some things I didn't hit. I want to give you a chance to absorb some of it, and then we'll continue to plow through. But let this marinate. Let this think. Live now in light of future glory. If you knew you were going to stand before God, reward and loss reward, you knew you were going to stand before God, and you wanted to have a big pile of things to give to Him, not for access, but you wanted to do that, you'd live differently now. You'd keep your life clean now. You'd pursue holiness now. Nothing unclean will enter into heaven. If you and I have any hope of going there, it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His perfect righteousness. And you and I ought to live indebted to the one who died on the cross for our sins. Do you believe that? Say amen. You ought to live now in light of future glory. You ought to take comfort that one day you and I will be in the presence of God. One of the things that's gone, it's not really mentioned here, it's implied here. I will never, ever feel alone again. I will never again feel excluded. I will never again miss anyone. I ought to witness boldly. The nations need the gospel. Then I'm going to rest knowing that God wins. God has won. He went, said He was preparing a place. The place is prepared. It is ready. It is as perfect as any bride ever been getting ready for her husband. It is ready for the bride of Christ to take access to. He's not excluded anyone. He's not excluded His covenant people. He's not excluded the church. He's not excluded all those who came by the way of the cross. He's not. And He wins no matter what it looks like now. He is the victor. And I can rest in His sovereign triumph. Man, that excites me. The city of God. The awfulness of hell. We saw that at the end of chapter 20. The lake of fire. And the glory of heaven. See, these are figurative places. They're not described that way. They go to great pains. These are literal places, and you will literally spend forever in one or forever in the other. And the choice you make now determines where you spend your eternity. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You. We thank You. There's so much here. This is so rich. It's so wonderful. Lord, I've not got anywhere close to doing it justice, but just introduced it to us. Would You fill our minds with the rapturous thought of how great and grand an architect that You are? Would You help us to hear, understand, and obey the Scripture? Lord, help us to understand one day, Lord, all the things we've ever gloried will just be melted into You. Lord, we'll lay those down at Your feet. And Father, as marvelous as it is, the best thing is not any of the architecture. It's not any of the gates. It's not any of the monumental angels. It's not the ability to be able to go vertically and horizontally. It's not the river of